Yeah, God, you know, the woman that you gave me, she's responsible. She's causing all the buggery. Or, my man ain't no good for nothing but no good. That'll lift him up. Now he can't wait to be the man God wants him to be. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If we find ourselves in a feud, end it. Well, they started it. Yeah, I'll end it when they acknowledge I'm right. We're all right. My kids are running amok. You're the parent. Are we criticizing and complaining? Am I too busy with my own agenda? Am I seeking first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness? It's no accident that 2 weeks ago Pastor Eric brought up the church at Ephesus. The devil wants us to forget about our first love. And that's what happened to the church at Ephesus. Jesus said to the church, I know what you do. I know your good works. I know your labor. I know that you kept the word pure in my church. But do you remember why you do what you do? Do you do it just for me, or do you do it because you love me? So what am I supposed to do with this dilemma? I'm under attack. I can't get things right. I should seek God first thing every morning. Pray to be made right with Him. Let's take a look at Psalms 51. Verses 10 through 13. This is the only way, I believe, that we are ever going to be in alignment with God if we practice this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. All the junk that is inside me and my thoughts, get rid of them. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Set me on your course. Put me in alignment with you. Let me focus on you. Do not cast me away from your presence. Where you are is where I desire to be. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. I need access to that Spirit every day. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Don't hold back from me the only thing that gives me power to get through my life. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. You paid for it and gave it to me as a gift. And when this life burns over, there's nothing left except you and me. My wife can't help me. My friends can't help me. This church isn't going to help me. It's just me and God. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Amen. Let us leave our troubles with God. Lay things down at the feet of Jesus and take our hands off of them. Let us forgive. Let us be forgiving. This comes to me from the joy of the salvation that God gave to me. He forgave me. What right do I have to hold an account over you? The second thing I would like to encourage us to do is love. Easier said than done. Jesus calls us to love one another. He didn't say we had to like each other. He said we have to love one another. And who knows, if we share the love for each other that we have from Christ and with Christ, we might like each other. We can say what we want, but without love, there's no meaning in anything. Like we heard this morning in Sunday school, Paul says, I am a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal if I do not have love. We can do good deeds and acts of kindness, but without love, the love of Christ, our deeds and acts are worthless. We're simply burning daylight, taking up space, and breathing good air. If we truly have love for Christ, then we have true love for each other. So let's go over it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Look at me. Look how loving I am. It's between me and God. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If we truly love Christ, then the good that we will do will be to please God. Amen? Not to please ourselves. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So let us examine ourselves. What motivates me? What is my motivation? Do I do good to please God? Do I offer up a sweet-smelling aroma? Or do I seek to please myself? That's the natural man. I'm in it for me. I start my day. What am I going to do? How am I going to get what I want? How many remember the Catalonian artist Salvador Dali? Bit of a nut bar. Arguably one of the greatest academician painters of all time. Self-centered, arrogant, reckoned himself a genius. He wrote in his journal, "Every morning upon awakening, I experience a supreme pleasure, that of being Salvador Dali. And I ask myself, wonderstruck, what prodigious thing will he do today, this Salvador Dali?" A little self-absorbed, eh? I always wondered, if he were a Christian, or if we kept a journal, would we write something like, "Every morning upon awakening I experience a supreme pleasure, that of being a child of God. And so I ask the Lord, desiring to glorify and please him, how may I serve you today, dear Father in heaven?" Well, that's an impossible mindset. It is with that attitude. Third thing I would like to encourage us in is our attitude. We need to check our attitude daily. Angela and I made up some bookmarks for everyone to have. I read this 20 or so years ago, and it stuck with me, and I can't shake it. This is written by Charles Swindoll, Pastor Charles Swindoll. At the time he wrote this on attitude, he was an ambassador to the UN. He writes, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude, to me, is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes." Do we ever consider how we leave a room or the company of others? What do people think or say about us? Well, I don't have control over what they think or say about me, but no, I do have the control over what I leave behind for them to think or speak about. You know, Auntie so-and-so, she's so sweet. What a joy. Yeah, Auntie so-and-so, she's a real so-and-so. Man, that guy, negative this, negative that. Don't even remember half of what he says. Just, oh, what a downer. Yeah, you know, Uncle What's-His-Name, I really like hanging out with him. So positive. What a man of God. Always lifting people up. What do we leave behind? Do we leave a sweet aroma? What do I intend to accomplish with my attitude? The American writer and essayist Henry David Thoreau went into the woods for 1 year and lived as a hermit near a pond called Walden. And he wrote about his experiences in a book called Walden. When asked, "Why did you do this?" he wrote, "I went into the wilderness to live my life deliberately. To live so deep as to suck out the marrow of life. To put to rout all things that are not of life. So as not to then, when I came to die, discover that I had not yet lived." That sounds pretty noble. Very deliberate, certainly intentional, but in a way, a bit selfish. I think if our attitude were intentional and deliberate and directed toward God, we would seek God so deliberately every day, seeking Him so deeply and desiring His will to be done in us so deeply, that we would put away everything that kept us from Him so that we would not find when we came to die that we had not yet loved. Let us remember our first love, Jesus. We are ambassadors of the living Christ. Or I am wasting my time. If Christ does not live, if He does not live in me, I'm taking up space and breathing good air. I want to encourage all of us to step out. If we have not or have not for a while led a Sunday school class, do so. The blessing is great for everyone, and I guarantee greater for those that prepare and present. And I believe that everyone that has done so would agree. Get into God's Word every day. suck out the nuggets of the scripture that speak to your heart and build you up and give you confidence. Strengthen yourself in God's word the way that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And bury those things deep inside you so that when you come up against storms and things that are terrifying in your life, you have something to hold on to. Deepen our relationship with God individually, because when this is over, it's between me and God. If you are not in a Bible study, join one. There's something very special about being together in one accord in God's Word. All who are believers have the ability to grow in the Spirit and encourage other believers. Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. All who are believers have the ability by the Spirit to serve the body. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And that is our calling into the ministry of encouragement. Let's all stand. Come together as best as we can and join hands. And we're not going to sing Kumbaya or anything, but let's face each other. This morning, with everyone affiliated with this church, in our minds and in our hearts, with eyes open, praying to each other, pray this prayer after me, and try to mean it. I thank God for the glory that we share in together with Christ. I praise God for Him having created you. I see the value in you that He sees. I love you. Help me with my burden. I'll help you with yours. Pray for me daily. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Uncle Darren. Amen. Well, we are a part of a body. What an awesome thought that we're sharing in the glory of God. You know, just incredible. And that we get to be a part of something like this, which is much more than we, you know, much more than just a Sunday afternoon potluck and gathering. It's, you know, the body of Christ here on earth. And let's pray that we can discern that body, that we can truly discern that body and discern what it means, all the fullness of it. I love how Darren said that, you know, discerning the body. It's understanding the fullness of what Christ has called us to be, understanding the fullness of who God has created each one of us to be, and seeing each other the way God sees us. Wow, what an awesome thought. And then understanding Christ's sacrifice for us, how He fully, that sacrifice cleanses and puts us all on equal footing. You know, there's no hierarchy within the church. There's just us in Christ. And below, you know, it's like God and then us. So, praise God. Thank you so much. Let's pray together real quick. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for our transformation. Thank you for the way you work in our lives. Thank you for truth, God. Thank that we can know truth. Thank you for opening our eyes to truth. Lord, I pray that you would just bless this afternoon, bless our lunch together, and bless others as they go their separate ways to watch that great American event. And Jesus, and Lord, we ask that you would help us as a body to love and encourage one another, to build one another up in the Spirit, to call one another to walk out our faith, God. Help us to challenge one another. Challenge one another to growth, Lord. And show us. Show us those people that you want us specifically, me specifically, to encourage and to lift up, Lord, to enable. And God, now I just pray for the potluck downstairs, that you would bless the hands that prepared it, for Sam and Takara who have been slaving away down there, and the others, Lord, that you would bless them, encourage them, thank you for them. And that through this time of fellowshipping together, that we would build one another up, encourage one another, and just love on each other. Thank you for a family. Thank you for a place to belong. In your name we pray. Amen.